Well, our sermon text this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. People of God, this is God's very word. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. Well, this evening I wanted us to look at an apostle, and not just any apostle. An apostle that should remind us of us. He's the one that's most like us in a lot of ways. But I want us to look at him even before he was a disciple. When we think of the calling of Peter, the first thing that jumps into our mind is Jesus said, "You are going to become a fisher of men." That's what Jesus told him. But that was a long way from this moment that he would become a fisher of men. Because it wasn't easy for Peter. But Peter seemed to always get in his way. Over and over again, we read in Scripture how Jesus would tell Peter something and he would just fumble it up. In Scripture, we get to see the best of Peter. But also we get to see the worst of Peter. Think of the best of Peter. Think of it, it was Peter who got to announce that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a privilege that must have been. But also we get to see the lowest point in Peter's life, don't we? Think of that time when he turns back into a sailor and starts cursing at everybody, saying that he denied the Christ. I don't know the man, he said. Where a few years later, he forgets the gospel that he is supposed to preach and gets called out on the floor by the Apostle Paul in front of everybody. I don't know how many of you would love to have your spiritual life written down for everyone to see. I know I wouldn't. Think about your whole spiritual life written down for all to see, for all time. Though after Peter's whole life, the early church tells us that he wasn't worthy enough to die like his Lord and asked to be crucified upside down. So this evening, I want us to look at the call of Peter. We'll look at a little bit of what led up to the call. How Peter, knowing who Jesus was, seeing some of his miracles, hearing him preach, it took some time for Peter to put all the puzzle pieces together, for all the puzzle pieces to fall in place. But they did. And that's what we're reading here this evening. I want us to see that it wasn't everything that Peter saw that really changed his life, but it was everything that he was hearing that changed his life. He was hearing the word of God. He was hearing about the kingdom of God from God incarnate. And the Lord used those words to change that man from a fisher of fish, fisherman of fish, to a fisherman of men. And one focus for us this evening will be, what was going on in Peter's mind when that bulb turned on, when faith took hold of Peter, and he realized that Jesus was Lord? How does he react? How do we react? So in our text, we find Peter by the shores of Galilee. The gospel writer Luke has been building up to this point to chapter 5. Peter and Jesus are acquaintances at this point. But we saw that he calls him master in our text and not Lord just yet. After Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, we know that Peter is there with his brother, but he's not quite a disciple yet. Jesus makes his way back up to Galilee, doesn't he? In the region where he goes back to his hometown in Nazareth. And if we jumped a couple chapters, or actually one chapter before our text this evening, in chapter 4, Jesus starts his ministry in Nazareth. And I would like to read it real quick. Jesus preaches in the synagogue in chapter 4, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord." That text was from Isaiah 61. We read that earlier. In the sermon that Jesus gave that morning in Nazareth, well, it got him kicked out of his church. And not only kicked out of his church, it got him kicked out of his town. They kind of took him to the edge of a cliff and they were going to throw him off. So Jesus needed to find a new town, and he needed to find a new church. Well, he ends up in Capernaum. They had a synagogue there, and Jesus went to preach. But guess who else lived in Capernaum? Peter. Peter lived there. And it doesn't take long for Jesus to be teaching in Peter's synagogue, the one that him and his family attended. So when Jesus gets there, he's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. And all along, Peter is hearing Jesus preach and do these miracles. One day, Peter invites Jesus to his house after church. Think of that. After church, you invite the Son of God to your house for a meal. Peter, Jesus go to his house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And as the day went on, Jesus continued to heal people. But when it was time to go, they didn't want Jesus to leave. Who would? But what does Jesus tell them that he needs to do? This is what Jesus tells them. "I must preach the kingdom of God. I must preach the kingdom of God. Don't hold me back. It's not time. I need to go. People need to hear the good news." And that's what he did. Jesus went out, preached all throughout Galilee. And that takes us to our text this evening. One morning, Jesus was walking along the water of the lake. Our text says, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, the lake of Gennesaret is just the lake of Galilee. It's just another name. Don't get confused. "And the multitude is listening to Jesus preach. They're listening to the words of Christ about the kingdom of God. Everyone there is listening to the Lord himself preach these words. So much so that people are starting to arrive. Who's that preaching out there? And the crowd gets bigger and bigger, and they start pressing against Jesus. So much so that he needs to get off the sand. I guess he could have just took a couple steps on the water, but he didn't. He sees a couple boats, and he gets into them. And I thought it was interesting as I was reading this text. Because if you read through the Gospels, when Jesus draws a crowd, it usually isn't for preaching. Usually it's for something that he does. I remember the time when they wanted to make Jesus king because he fed them. It wasn't because what he was preaching. It wasn't because of the good news. Jesus took a few fish and some bread, fed 5,000 people. And they're like, this is the king. They wanted to make him king. You know, they pressed around him when he would heal. He would just go into towns and he would start healing and the crowds would just arrive. They wanted to see him cast out demons, crowds again. But this time, this morning, it was different. This time they pressed around him because he was preaching the word of God. They pressed around him to hear the gospel of life. And we need to remember, this is so early in Jesus' ministry, he hasn't called the disciples yet. And I thought about this for a long time. Because when you first start hearing the gospel, you go, ooh, I like this. And you want to hear it more and more. What is this? What is this good news? You start showing up to church every week. That's what they were doing. They would hear this good news and they wanted more. But you know, as you go through the gospels, like I said earlier, they stop going for the word and they start going for the miracles. Kind of sounds like the church today, doesn't it? A lot in North America go first for the gospel. But then to them, the gospel starts getting old news and not good news. Well, Pastor, we've heard that news before. Tell us something more. Or we don't have enough programs at our church. We need more programs. We need to bring people in. If we had just modern music, we'd keep our younger generation. It's kind of what happened to Israel, didn't it? Jesus first starts off with the good news. It's so easy to slide away from the gospel. On this side of glory, if we don't persevere to go to church every Sunday to hear the gospel, that love for it kind of slides away. Our flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? Our flesh loves Jesus because he'll feed us. He'll heal us. Not because he has the words of life. So we need to remember that the gospel needs to be up front. And what better person to show us this is Peter. Peter himself. You know, the people of Israel at this time, they were supposed to be being fed by their leaders, and it has stopped. And I think that's why when they first start hearing Jesus' words, they hadn't heard the gospel in so long, they're like, what is this? We need to hear it. The teachers in Israel had lost that. They didn't understand that people needed a new heart anymore. Remember that from John 3. They didn't understand they needed to be born again. So when we get to verse 2, we read that Jesus saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked them to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So Jesus is now teaching the multitudes, and there's so many there, he has to get into these boats. Well, the fishermen weren't using the boats anymore, so if they weren't going to fish from them, Jesus was going to fish from these boats. And he gets into Peter's boat. The Lord knew it was Peter's boat. It wasn't just like a guess. He knew that day he was going to change Peter's life. That morning, he goes to Peter's boat, and Peter's boat becomes Jesus' pulpit. The words of life were going to come from that boat that morning. And like I said earlier, Jesus and Peter are already acquaintances. It's not like Jesus is a stranger to Peter. They were probably friends by this point. We don't know how long he was in Capernaum, but we know it was long enough that he started preaching in their synagogues. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, like I said earlier. And now here's Jesus sitting in Peter's boat, preaching the word of God. Could have been hundreds of people there. Maybe even more. Hearing the incarnate word himself bring the word of life. And how awesome would that have been? How often have we thought, man, if I just would have heard Jesus preach, I'd just be on fire all the time. I think that is sometimes. But I don't want us to forget that the same Spirit that was changing lives then is the same Spirit that's changing lives now. So when we come to church and we're hearing the word preached, it's that same Spirit that's bringing people to life. So don't feel like we're getting shortchanged. When Jesus is preaching, the crowds are listening. When we come to church, Jesus is preaching and the crowds are listening. That's something we need to remember. This morning, Jesus is preaching, and off in the corner, cleaning and mending his nets, was Peter. Peter was listening. Peter is just one of the crowd at this point in his life, listening to the one who had preached the good news, the gospel to the poor, the one who was sent to heal the brokenhearted, the one who was going to proclaim liberty to the captives, who would recover the sight of the blind. How many there on the shore that morning had never heard the good news? How many in our churches who sat there their whole lives have never heard the good news? And when the sermon's over, Jesus is done preaching. Verse 4 tells us, and when he had finished speaking, he says to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And you're like, wait a second. Now we have the carpenter telling the fisherman how to do his job. I wonder if during the sermon, Jesus was preaching and he kept looking over to Peter and seeing that the nets were empty, seeing that there was no fish in the baskets, no fish going off to the markets, no fish being cleaned. So the carpenter tells the fisherman, we're going to go fish. What do you think is going through Peter's mind at this point? This is what Peter says. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. You know what Peter was thinking was, that's why they call it fishing and not catching, Jesus. He's like, no fish, Jesus. We did it all night. We're fishermen. This is what we do for a living. And there's two things I wanted to bring to our attention in this little mini verse right here. The first is Peter calls him master here and not Lord. And that gives us a show of Peter's heart at that moment. See, the word master is only used in the Gospel of Luke, in the whole New Testament, referring to Jesus. And it doesn't mean rabbi here. He's not saying teacher. No, he's saying master. He's calling him master, somebody who has authority. Remember, Peter's seen healings. Peter's seen demons get cast out. He knows Jesus is special. But he doesn't know Jesus as Lord at this moment. But he knows enough to obey the words of Christ. Because that's the next thing he says. But at your word, I will let down the nets. So he knows enough to obey. Humanly speaking, Peter is the better fisherman. He could have just said, Jesus, we fished all night. We don't have time for this, Jesus. We got to be doing other things. This is my livelihood. But he doesn't. He says, okay, at your word, let's do this. How many times in our lives have we thought better? How many times in our lives have we said, come on, Lord, let's pick up the pace. We don't have time for this, Lord. How many times in our lives, if we just would have listened and obeyed, things would have been so much better. Well, we could just stop the sermon right here because we know what happens next, don't we? We know the ending. We've heard this story so many times. They throw the nets out. There's so many fish. It starts breaking the nets. The boats start to sink, and they live happily ever after. Is that how it goes? Well, kind of. Truth be told, we actually miss the true miracle in this text. We miss it. We know these stories so much that we can read right through it, and we miss the true miracle. Let's start reading at verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You see, our eyes are so drawn to the fish that we're not drawn to a dead man coming to life. You see, at other times in the Gospels, when Jesus does a miracle, people are so interested in the earthly part of it that they don't see lives being changed. They don't see people being healed to show them that they're really healed spiritually. They just see Jesus doing these miracles and think, "He could feed us forever. Let's make him king." Think about this miracle. So the average fisherman, think of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They've been fishing their whole lives. This is what they do. And they see Jesus bring in so much fish, their boats start to sink. What would you think their first thought would be? "We're going to be millionaires." That would be the earthly thing that they would think. That's not what happens. Peter sees the goodness of God and repents. He sees that he could have had it all, but it drops him to his knees. Why? Because he remembers what Jesus had been preaching all those times. Just that morning from the shore, he remembers the words of the kingdom. So let's read verse 8 again. When Simon Peter saw it, what did he see? He saw the goodness of God. That sounds weird to us. It does. But what do I mean here? Fishing was life for these men. It's all they knew. It's how they fed their families. It's how they paid their bills. It's all they thought about was fish. They probably dreamt about fish. That's their life. In Peter's eyes, when this carpenter outfished them, everything that Jesus had been preaching came to life. It cut Peter right to the heart. And he realized it's the goodness of God at this moment. He didn't deserve all these fish. He fished all night, zero fish. Jesus goes out, throws nets out, the boats are sinking. It led him to repentance. And we finish verse 8. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When others see Christ's miracles, they just want more. When Peter saw the miracle, it broke his heart. At that moment, Jesus was no longer master, was he? He wasn't just someone in authority anymore. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He knew. The kingdom of God had arrived in Peter's life at that very moment. Peter became like Isaiah. He was undone in front of the Lord. He just fell down. And we continue reading verse 9. "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken in. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon." Other disciples. Literally a life-changing event for all of them. Fishermen their whole lives had never seen anything like this. And at that moment they knew, "The Son of God is before us. Lord. And I love what Jesus says to Peter. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Don't fear, Peter. Your life's going to change so much from this moment, but don't be afraid. You're mine now. No more catching fish, Peter. That's your old life. Now you're going to follow me. You're going to catch men. Now you're going to go tell others what you've been hearing. You're going to tell others the good news of the kingdom and that it's arrived. And then we get to our last verse this evening. Verse 11. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Wow. They left after seeing the greatest catch of their whole life. They forsook everything that they've ever done, their entire lives, for Jesus. They knew that at that moment, there was going to be nothing better. Nothing would be greater. Christ was all in all. So that leads us to us this evening, doesn't it? What about us? Have we truly forsaken all for Jesus? Have we at this moment fallen on our knees before him and repent for our sin? You know, a lot of us have been sitting in church our whole lives, haven't we? We've heard the good news over and over and over again. Week after week. I pray that we're not the ones who seek earthly things from Christ. But we're the ones who see the goodness of God in everything and repent. And my prayer for us is that as the word goes out, we go out with it and boldly preach it like Peter did. That we're not afraid to make fools of ourselves for Jesus. Peter did that a lot. But to remember that he is the one that saves us. It's his word that we hear that changes our lives by the Spirit. And as we leave these doors this evening, remember the things that we forsake, it's okay. Jesus says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Let us pray.